I'd like to call the November 16th, 2023 Stormwater Utility Commission roll call. Can I please have a roll call of the commissioners?
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Mattson?
Here.
Vice Chair Thomas? Chair Crocker?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
Okay, let's move on to the next audience. The next item, call the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask the matter to be placed on future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on any matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak to call, they aren't specify what you discuss when completing the blue speaker card. You don't need to do blue speaker card. We welcome. We'll give each of you a chance to talk.
Thank you.
Nope.
Just tell us who you are, where you live, so we can do it.
Link Kilman. I live at the Highlands Mobile Park.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
No questions.
Okay.
Jim Coffey, Highlands.
Okay. Dave Frank at the Highlands.
Lowell Jensen, just down the road here, shopping center.
Okay. No comments, then we can continue. Cool. Thank you. Okay. Okay, so we have no request to speak, so let's move on to the council liaison comments with council member Green.
I think the major issue that might affect us that came up last night or Wednesday night was the settlement that is occurring in the housing areas around Moore Loop. And the council basically sent the engineers back to do a little more research, do some drilling, whatever they need to do to come forward, including shoring up foundations out there by the builder. So this is kind of a big deal. I think we're not anxious to approve housing on soils that are settling.
Can we ask questions now? I'm not sure what Moore Loop is.
You can ask. There's just no, if you need clarification.
Yeah, informational clarification.
Can you?
I'll provide you.
Okay. I know. Okay.
It is Valley Vista subdivision, yeah. Altera subdivision, but it's the new Moore Loop Road off of Ranch of Vista. So as you go
I understand. I ride my bike up that 10% slope. Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. That's all. Thank you, Councilmember Green. The next item is our director's report. So I'd like now to turn it over to John Spiker, the Stormwater Utility Management.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. I've got a couple of things for you guys. As mentioned earlier, it seems like a storm front is blowing in.
Yes.
The National Weather Service is forecasting a low pressure trough moving through the state. It started last night. We got trace amounts of rain. You may have seen it on your windshields.
Yeah, yeah.
We got spit on a little bit. That's going to continue through the weekend. I mentioned we got rainfall last night. We're going to see some lower temperatures and greater chance of rain through the weekend. They're only forecasting about a total of half an inch of rain, so pretty small in the grand sum of it all. But that is what we're seeing right now. So please be careful. The roads might be slick. Low water crossings might become flooded out. So please pay attention to signage out there and be careful. Earlier this month, there was a fire out in the northern reaches of the Santa Catalina Mountains, kind of up above Saddlebrook at the Charlotte Gap area. It burned about 300 acres before being contained. Very late season fire. Undetermined of how it started. I wasn't really aware of any lightning strikes happening, so this could be a man-made endeavor. But nonetheless, our partners with the fire districts were able to put that out and keep that contained. So no structural damage, no loss of life at all, no injuries, but still concerning. We are still aware fires can cause additional flooding post-fact, so we continue to monitor those things. Pima County Flood Control District, they've received word that their hazard mitigation grant has been awarded by FEMA.
Hey.
They were in the cycle ahead of the town's three applications, so that hopefully leads to positive motion on our Highlands Mobile Home Park project and our two Sierra Wash projects that we've got loaded up for a similar grant. The kickoff meeting is going to be held up here tomorrow, and the county has secured about $2.3 million for levee augmentation. What the heck does that mean? They're raising the elevation of the CDO bank protection along the Oro Valley Country Club. Steam Pump Ranch is going to get improvements up that way, but essentially from Oracle Road down to La Cañada, there's about seven sites that will be enhanced to contain additional flows coming off of the mountains that have been burned. So we're excited about that, and again, we're getting a $2 million plus infusion of work off the backs of the county and FEMA. So we're appreciative that they're willing to still work up here with us, and we'll be looking forward to that going under construction probably sometime this spring and completing in the fall of next calendar year. So looking forward to that and our continued partnership with Pima County. Lastly, for the commissioners that will be hanging on with us into next year, we'll be doing an order of some shirts. If you guys are interested in that, please reach out to Urena Hind. She'll get you the styles, the colors, the sizes, all that fun stuff. But please reach out to Urena, or we'll reach out to you.
Okay.
And we'll put an order in sometime in the early part of next year. Chair Crocker, that is all I have for the director's report.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Our next agenda item, and number one, is the presentation and discussion regarding the community's next 10-year action plan, known as OV's Path Forward. And, John, you can do the introductions of the town staff members who are here.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. I would like to introduce Melanie Sims and Renee, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Olvera.
Renee Olvera with the Community and Economic Development Department Planning Division are here to present the OV Path Forward.
Okay. Hello, everyone. As you know, my name is Renee Olvera. I am the Senior Planner for the General Plan, and I'm here to introduce Oro Valley's Path Forward. So right now, we are in the beginning stages of the three-year community-driven process. Phase one is mainly going to be community outreach. So that means going to community events, going to businesses, organizations, to be able to update the values and the visions and ultimately create the foundations for the plan. During this process, we will be providing updates to board and commission. These updates are going to include the feedback from the topic area discussions, findings from the townwide survey, and the draft for the community vision and guiding principles. All right, with launching OV's Path Forward, and I would like to say thank you to all the commissioners who helped create the...
I am really, really sorry, y'all. I got stuck in traffic from the airport.
Glad to see you.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
Commissioner Thomas is now
glad to be in the U.S. I'll explain later. I'm sorry.
Please continue.
All right. So I just wanted to say thank you to the commissioners who helped create the award-winning community engagement plan. This plan prioritized resident voices by making sure that this process is as inclusive and accessible as possible. Right now, we're rolling out background reports, including one about stormwater management and other various topics. These are going to include the summary videos, information sheets, and the discussion questions. Yes?
Renee, is that the behind-the-scenes video?
Behind-the-scenes video?
So stormwater, we will be using your behind-the-scenes video.
Correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. We have created an interactive website, which I'll get to in just a second, and then we will also be recruiting community volunteers. Right. OVPathForward.com is an interactive website. It's making involvement as fun, meaningful, and convenient as possible. There you're going to find resources to learn, discuss, connect, collaborate, and with time, see results. With that said, everybody's voice is needed. A big part of this plan is to reach all community members of all ages, all interests, to give us feedback. So we have a fun activity for all of you. These are our three main questions we are asking the community right now. They're asking, what do you like best about Oro Valley? What do you want it to be known for? And what are going to be the biggest challenges in the next 10 years? So if all you want to go ahead and grab a sticky pad and let us know your perspectives, we would really appreciate that.
So we have sticky pads over here. I can bring them over if you want to put your answers and then put them on the board. And I want to invite all of you from Highlands Mobile Park and down the road to participate as well.
Thank you, Marlene.
Yep.
And as you guys can see in this picture, this was from a Halloween activity. I don't even know if it was from this year or not.
National Night Out.
You may have seen them at the State of the Town and various other places. The CED group tries really hard to gauge everybody's opinion and thoughts and collect those. So,
and these three questions specifically, we have been asking all over the community, as John said, but we'll be using the responses from these questions to update the community's vision, and then also to help create the goals for the next 10 years.
I did bring up the website here that Ms. Oliveira was referring to earlier. There's tons of information on here, videos and lots of opportunities to engage with the town. So please take a peek at that at your leisure. Again, ovpathforward.com. So I've already filled it out. You probably don't want my comments twice. But if you do, I'm more than happy to give them.
I am a
resident.
Yeah, if you want to go post them under which, where they go.
And if you don't feel like getting up and walking, not a problem. Yeah. We will collect those from you guys and put them up there.
Absolutely. And we're not going to go through them today.
That's great. Yeah.
This is it. This is all the input you're going to need.
I know at other meetings, I think there was a timing concern and just a concern in general.
Renee, can residents provide input on these three questions online or through the website?
Okay. Yes, you're going to find that there are already people, on the website letting us know their perspectives. These are going to be on the Connect page, right at the bottom of the page.
Okay. Let's see if I can find that really quick.
I'm going to go up to the bar.
Got it.
Participate today.
Participate today.
And scroll to the bottom all the way down. And there's 67 comments, 15.
You can see the responses.
Yeah, and you can, if you're logged in, you can see all the responses and communicate with other members of the community.
Yeah,
so a lot of good discussions.
Engagement already. All right.
Do you feel this is going well for you all?
I think that so it launched October 25th for mayor's state of address. So we are just starting out. And so I think for not even being a month in, we've got a lot of great feedback already and gotten momentum. As Ms. Olvera said, we're in efforts to try to keep people engaged, releasing information every month. And so this month's was housing and economic development. So on the website, there's even more questions focused on what types of housing should there be in Oro Valley's future. We're running out of land, so how should it be used in the future? So we'll continue to pose questions like that every month to hopefully keep people going. So if you do sign in on the website, bookmark it. We'll be sending out announcements every time things rolls out so you can continue to participate.
Yeah, I don't know if Melanie, did you do the branding package with this commission separately?
Yes. So, as part of after the community engagement plan,
was done. The next lift was the Project Identity, and I know you were at
the one day I was in town.
Where we actually showed it. So it was still a resident-driven process to even get to the branding, and really appreciate everybody's time.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody who has participated. And go ahead and keep brainstorming and thinking of things you might want to ask. But ongoing participation is a huge part of this process. So please go online, join the conversation there. You're going to be able to really dive deep into the topics that you care about, and also just see what people around you are saying. But also, follow us on Facebook and Instagram, because right there, that's where you're going to get the instant, immediate updates. That's where you're going to see, what are we asking? Where are we going? What are people saying? Right at the tips of your fingers. So you can do that. But big reason why I'm here is because I'm asking for your guys' help. All of you are already very involved in your community, and getting you on board as a volunteer would be a huge step forward for the plan. So if you would like to do that, you can contact either one of us, and we will be happy to have you on board. Well, also, if you're part of your HOA, you're part of two HOAs, I heard, or any other group or organization, and you want to see us there, let us know. We will be there. We will set that up for you. So thank you for listening to me and my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer. Also, if you have ideas right now where you want to see us next, we would love to know. That would be great input.
Yeah. Any further questions? Okay. Let's move on to agenda item number 2, which is the review and approval of the August 17th and the September 21st meeting minutes. We have to have 2 separate votes on this. So, commissioners have received copies of both set of minutes. We will vote on them separately. Are there any additions that need to be made to the minutes? Please raise your hand if you wish to speak. John.
I will let the commissioners know again. I believe the August minutes were a full meeting. The September one was a no quorum, so that one should be pretty short and sweet.
Yes.
I'd like to ask for motions first on the August minutes.
Okay. The August minutes, we were actually here. We did have. Yes. So, does anyone have any comments on those minutes or not? I don't see any. Oh, Commissioner Hawkinson.
That was the one where you passed out or went over the annual report to ADQ, was it not?
Yes.
And I think that was also the one where everybody was given a chance to comment if they wanted.
Yes.
Yeah. I looked at it quick. I didn't see that was stated in here, but I thought I'd bring it up to see what the rest of the committee members thought. Show that at least
I don't recall it, to be honest with you, from August.
Commissioner Hawkinson, we can certainly make an amendment to these minutes to say input was provided by yourself, as we do take some of that into consideration and make some changes to the annual report based upon your recommendations. And that certainly isn't really reflected in that meeting minute. But we can certainly put that down.
Okay.
Okay.
All those in favor of adding that amendment by Commissioner Hawkinson and then approving the minutes, can I have a vote?
Aye.
Any opposed?
So we have a motion?
I made the motion.
I seconded.
Okay. Sorry. I know as president I'm not supposed to make the motion, but sometimes I just can't help myself. Okay, and then for the September meeting, we did not have a quorum, so the minutes are minuscule. So can I have a...
Was it September or October?
September. October, we did the trip, Gary.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So can I have a motion to approve the September meeting?
Moved.
Can I have a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Everyone's in favor. Thank you so much. Okay. Ah, so.
Feel free to throw stones.
Well, no, we're going to actually, item number three is to recognize Stormwater Commissioner William Ed Thomas. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. I appreciate that very much. Ed, took a look at your application, your resume. I tried to do Google searches on you. Not a lot on you out there.
That's good.
Only for various
I like that.
Reasons.
You're classified.
What I did find in reading through all of that information, Ed has been someone who wants to give back. Whether that's as a coach for youth sports, whether that's on an HOA board, a commission here, or just being a general help to people, Ed gives back an awful lot. And I know he was once retired and has now been brought back into the working world here. I think it just shows his dedication to being a stand-up individual here and giving back. So I really want to say thank you for the time you've given us, Ed. It's really helped us out an awful lot. And I hope we've helped educate you. I've seen that on the CenterPoint HOA. Your ability to see something that just doesn't look right and then go out and ask questions to really help your residents out. I can't speak enough about that. And same with the Highlands folks here. Not every one person can know everything, but knowing people to go out to and reach out to and know when to ask those questions is so important to us. I can't speak enough about that, Ed. So again, I want to encourage everyone else to say thank you. For your time here with us, and we hope the best for you, because I know it's going to be a little tough for you here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really appreciate the time, and I just want to up front, I want to apologize for being absent the last few.
We appreciate your efforts.
I can tell you now, I couldn't 2 weeks ago, but I have been in Ukraine a half dozen times in the last 3 months, and I'm going back again. It's been an interesting time for those of us that do what I do at Raytheon, or what I did again. So I apologize for missing the meetings and being late today. I literally just got off the airplane 45 minutes ago. But I appreciate it. It's been a real joy. It's definitely been educational, and I'll try to get back in. And I'm looking at some other opportunities to join within the town and help.
Commissioner Mattson?
Comment?
Ditto. I mean, yeah. And he's been highly representative of the HOA. I mean, he's advocated the importance of them in relationship to infrastructure and helpful that way. This is a kind of, I think you should do a diary on your own, notes about the Ukraine, your observations for yourself, as long as it's not...
Yeah,
you know, as long as it stays away from, you know what I mean, security.
I'll tell you,
it's observations of people and what's going on there, because I think we don't have much information outside of what we see on the news.
You're right. It's an interesting change. Before I retired, my last two trips were to Kiev and Odessa, and it's as would you expect, a wholly different environment right now. Mm-hmm. So. But it's still a lot of fun. It's a challenge.
Well, certainly think of us in the future here.
And be
more than
safe.
Likely we'll have openings. Yes, first and foremost, please take care of yourself and your family. But should you have time down the road, we'd be more than happy to welcome you back, Ed.
Yeah.
And with that, we do have some parting gifts for you.
Oh,
here.
Boy.
Christmas early.
So
Christmas
you will always remember us. Here we got a lovely Oral Valley rain gauge for you, sir.
There
we go. And a sunshade.
Great.
Very useful.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. You're still a commissioner through this whole meeting.
Yeah.
All right. So
can't leave
still,
yet.
Okay. So we'll go to agenda item four, which is the discussion of meetings and events. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you again, Chair Crocker. Appreciate that. Let's load up. So we've been busy here. I've loaded up events all the way back to September here. Some things of note, and thank you, Commissioner Mattson, for showing up to the state of the town. I thought the mayor's words on our positive current conditions and our future outlook was very well received. And I can't thank him enough for broadcasting the positives of our community here. We are doing quite a lot of great things here. There was some recognition of our partners at the Pima County Flood Control District.
Yeah.
Their improvement of the loop system here and some general maintenance work they're doing for us. It was nice to trickle down even to our small little group here. So, again, I want to say thank you to Commissioner Mattson and the mayor for his kind words there. We had a meeting earlier this week with the Pima Association's Low Impact Development Working Group. Every quarter, they have a meeting with their sister group up in the Phoenix Valley. That is the ASU Sustainable Cities Network. So that brings the majority of the state players in a meeting together to talk about mostly low-impact development, green infrastructure types of projects. So sustainability, restoration, runoff, water quality, those types of projects. ASU and U of A, both universities, are working on standards and policies toward low-impact development that the agencies are actually using. So getting some real feedback from boots-on-the-ground people, is it working? Are these applicable to larger groups, funding opportunities? Obviously, the networking is great, too, just to bounce ideas off of people. But the fact that we're part of that and we're able to solicit more information out of those groups is a real positive. So you'll see those PAG meetings, Pima Association of Governments. We meet every month. But again, I wanted to highlight that interesting meeting from this week. I talked about it a bit in the director's report here, but we do have Pima County coming in to talk with us about that CDO levy augmentation project, so we're excited about that one. And lastly here, you'll see December 14th, which is about a month away, we have our Oro Valley Volunteer Appreciation Reception. Commissioner Mattson was there last year, and I believe some of you have attended before. But it's a way for Oro Valley to say thank you to our volunteers, which all of you guys are. So please check your calendars for December 14th. I've already booked for you all to be there. But please reach out to Urena and I and verify if you can attend. I believe it's at 6 p.m. over at the Conquistador Resort again. It's a fabulous spread. And again, a way for Oro Valley to say thank you for your contributions. At that point, I'll take any questions or feedback from the commission.
Okay, John, doesn't seem like we have any. So let's move to agenda item 5, the review and discussion of the October 16th Stormwater Utility Commission field trip to the Keno Environmental Restoration Project.
Yes. Thank you so much. Most of you all were actually present there.
Yes.
But for the sake of the public, we want to do a little recap. The Oro Valley Stormwater Utility had reached out to our partners at Pima County, and they were kind enough to host our group at the, as Chair Crocker just mentioned, the Keno Environmental Restoration Project, which is at Ajo and Irvington area, Ajo and Country Club. It's a more specific location. So the former director, Suzanne Shields, of the Pima County Flood Control District, gave us a little presentation, and then we got to walk around that particular facility. And really one of the highlights I wanted people to understand are the multi-use aspects of the facility. First and foremost, it's a flood control facility. It's taking water off of Davis-Monthan and kind of the heart of the city, and routing it through their facility, where it then exits and makes its way towards South Tucson and ultimately over to the Santa Cruz River. So first and foremost, it's a flood control facility. But secondarily, they're doing an awful lot of stormwater harvesting. And we'll get to a figure on quantities of that. Thirdly, they are doing restoration. They've put in a tremendous amount of plant vegetation that we were all able to witness, which has then attracted the birds and the wildlife to the facility. And then lastly, there's a recreation component. They've got walking trails. We got to see some of the parks associated with it. And then we've got the Keno Sports District area out there. Baseball, soccer are taking place, which the harvested stormwater is actually feeding. So it's a tremendous facility. And it, again, I really wanted people's eyes to be open to what's possible and what some of our partners are doing. So here we see some aerial images of the facility itself. Here's Ajo Way coming down here. This is the basin itself. And this picture actually shows quite a bit of water. This large basin is nearly completely full. Here's the deep pond over here. And then you can see the storm channels that feed into that. Pretty remarkable. You can see the green space. It's pretty impressive. It's nearly 200 acres out here. And again, we just talked about some of the reasons that they put that online. Here's a more descriptive exhibit of the facility itself. Again, this is a partnership with the Army Corps of Engineers from the LA District. It's completed in 2001. And again, it's comprised of several basins and streams here that collect the water and move them through the area. Planted with a bunch of native species, again, trying to create that existing or natural environment to then bring back the wildlife. Some pictures of us walking around and taking a peek at things. Again, we mentioned it maintains the flood storage capacity for that Tucson diversion channel, and they're able to miter the flows downstream, really reducing the potential for flooding of the residents over here. Getting into some real specifics here, they want to try to reduce that 100-year storm event. They're seeing a peak of 15,000 plus cubic feet per second. That's an awful lot of water. For perspective, the CDO handles about 20,000 CFS in the same storm event. So it's on par with what we'd see trucking out in the CDO. They're able to store almost 2,000 acre feet of water. It's quite an impressive facility here. Again, designed to harvest stormwater for use on the local vegetation there, as well as the sports fields, which anybody that's been down there for soccer or baseball, there's an awful lot of turf being fed by this thing. So I really like this graphic. It's very telling the success of this particular project. So what we're seeing here is dollars saved in irrigation over the years. I believe Ms. Shields was alluding to the county has saved nearly $8 million worth of irrigation water by capturing it here and recirculating it to the fields out there. That nearly pays for the contribution the county had to pony up in addition to what the Corps paid. So it's nearly paid for itself already just on irrigation water alone. Never mind the potential flooding that has been saved due to this project or the recreation benefits or the wildlife benefits that provides as well. So quite a successful project. And again, I mentioned I want to open people's eyes to what is possible here. There are opportunities on a smaller scale to bring something like this to Oro Valley. Naranja Park's got tremendous amounts of open space that we could potentially collect some water and reuse it in some manner. We might not have the volumes to feed the turf that we've got up there, but every little bit counts. And it just takes some vision and creativity to start to see what is possible and then start chasing those dollars down.
That's a good point, John. I was just going to ask that question. Has the town looked at potential replication on a smaller scale up here?
The short answer is no. Commissioner Thomas, we really have not pushed very hard on water reuse. Now, I will tell you, the Community and Economic Development Group does have a stormwater harvesting component to any development plan. That's on a very micro scale, but that does reduce runoff. That helps us out. It does save on some irrigation water. We're trying to harvest it in mini basins, if you will, to support the necessary landscaping and then really to reduce some of that peak runoff. The water utility has a conservation group over there that this would fall into their wheelhouse. but most of their efforts have been toward education on water conservation and really residential reduction of use. You know, let's look for leaks. Let's make sure we're paying attention to our water bills so that line breaks don't go for months on end. So from that aspect, we are conserving water. We're asking our residents to pay attention to your faucet being turned on. Are you turning it on when you're brushing your teeth? Or are you turning it off? Are you showering for 30 minutes at a time or for five? They're hitting up schools to try to educate them on that front as well. But as far as pure construction toward water harvesting, we really haven't dipped our toe in it too much.
Are we allowed to tap into the outflows that go through the washes, either be that Big Wash or the CDO?
Great question. That was actually brought up at the meeting and discussed by the former director, Ms. Shields. There's not a black and white answer to that. Who does the runoff really belong to?
Yeah.
Good question. We mentioned it at the meeting. Water rights are becoming very important to people. People are buying and acquiring properties just for the underground rights, whether that's mineral or water, and then leave the property vacant, but now they have rights to that water that they can move around to wherever. So they worked really hard on this particular project in ensuring that runoff did belong to the county, that they could capture this and hold it back and use it for something else. For the most part up here, Commissioner Thomas, we don't have a ton of farms that would have rights to it. It is ultimately going into the Santa Cruz and then going north into Pinal County. Those questions would have to be thoroughly vetted before we went and tried to capture water off of those. And then we have to have the open space to it.
Yep.
And we don't want to put it in line in wash. We'd want it offline, kind of take that water off to the side and kind of store it here and then try to reuse it. Well, there's not a ton of open space along the CDO right now that could house something like that. Catalina State Park might be it. Well, what's around there that you could feed water to? Don't know, because this one, let's see, I don't think we have a really good picture of it. Yeah, you can kind of see it in this one here. You can see all this turf space just down the way, across the street literally from this thing. Here's a bunch of turf over here. Here's turf here. Here's turf here. So the proximity of where you're piping that water to plays into effect here. I don't want to be doing miles worth of piping if we're going to capture the water. I don't want to send it all the way across town. That's probably cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
But it might not be in 10 years. So we are thinking about it, particular partners at Pima County and the University of Arizona. They've got a stormwater harvesting dashboard that I'd like to present to you guys at some point in time. They're identifying potential water harvesting areas and then coming up with a calculation. How much water could you really save at that location? But our partners are trying to zero in on potential sites and helping the whole region conserve more water.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Commissioner Hawkinson.
Partial answer again to the question. Back in when stormwater was first getting started and the water department had a water conservation person on hand. Stormwater and the water department staff got together and looked at Big Wash as a potential area. We looked at potential off-site places, like you alluded to, couldn't really visualize or find anything. We considered, because of the area of flow on Big Wash, we thought about would it be possible to take water out of the faster moving portions and put it over to side basins where it doesn't, the velocities are not as great, and maybe push up some berms out there that would be able to withstand some of the velocities, but not the biggest ones. But then after looking at that, the way things meander through there from one event to another, it would be very difficult to do that and have a casting concrete program.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, the maintenance toward that particular type of thing, and that's more in line, becomes very difficult as O&M needs to be thought of. It's not just the benefits out of building something. How much is it going to cost us over a period of time? And I will counter all of these discussions with, we are harvesting stormwater. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, almost all of our washes are sand-based or sand-bottom-based, just like at the Highlands here. Water does trickle down into the groundwater. Now, our partners at the water utility, and I've mentioned this to you guys before, but we're not pumping out of the aquifers up here in Oro Valley. I mean, almost all of our water comes from the Tucson Water Reserves. And that's down in Avra Valley. It's on the other side of the Tucson Mountains. And then they pump it all the way back up here. So would it really behoove us to fill the aquifers up here? Not necessarily, because we're not drawing out of it. But every drop of water that does go into the ground does support some kind of wildlife and habitat, which we all like, trees and plants and birds and bunnies. And that's part of our quality of life here. So the fact that we are kind of capturing some water underground as it moves through our washes is great. But every time we channelize and squeeze it in, we're just pushing it downstream faster. So kind of back to Rich's point, opening these things up a bit, slowing them down will allow us to capture more. What are we doing with that water? Now, we're probably not going to create a lake out here. That would be a lot of maintenance on our backs here. And then for what purpose? Just to have a fishing pond, it needs to be put to use if we're going to collect it.
Yeah. So one of the ideas that was in my mind, and it goes back, I've got family in firefighting here in Gota Ranch and all, but we've seen the big fires that have happened in the Catalinas in this area. We know there's going to be more as we go forward. So one of the thoughts was in my head was, could we create a basin area to collect water to help with wildfire protection and wildfire service, instead of pumping fresh water that they go and they draw to go fight that fire? Maybe it could be some of that reclaimed water from storm runoff.
Yeah, that's a great thought. And I believe during the Bighorn, they actually were using the water out of Saddlebrook's lakes, which, again, are really just harvested water in addition to pumping some water into it. I don't know if they used any of the golf course lakes that the town owns. But those are all potential water sources for firefighting purposes, particularly the ponds we've got, because they are filled with reclaimed at the Kenyatta and Conquistador course. Mm-hmm. It'd be easy to just turn that back on and fill it back up after the helicopters take the water away. But they're pretty tiny.
Yeah,
they need a pretty large reservoir, so to speak. And that's where, again, I start to eyeball Catalina State Park and their vast acreage of open space, inclusive of the CDO wash right at Oracle Road. It's really wide right there.
Yep.
It'd be pretty easy to dig a big hole that could be filled with something and allow those firefighters.
Easy access to get up into the Catalinas from there to all sides.
Correct. Because most often they're actually staging out of Catalina State Park
exactly.
for those types of operations anyway.
Yep.
So it'd make a lot of sense. And again, you could use it in the off season when you're not worried about fires, to grow more plants out there. I'm sure they would like more plants to be grown there at Catalina State Park.
Wildlife draw for water in that area. And everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry to take us offline, but
that's okay. That's why we bring this up. Any other questions or comments in regard to the field trip? Did you guys have a good time?
Very educational to see how they tied in different federal projects, other things, and everyone worked together to make this work. And it basically paid for itself. So it's great.
It's a great exercise or a demonstration of partnering capabilities, and not just with Oral Valley and Pima County. Obviously, there were a ton of other partners that had a stake in this facility here. And it didn't happen overnight. It's a very long project, very expensive project, but lots of benefits.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Spiker. Let's go on to agenda item number 6, the discussion and presentation of the Canyon Del Oro Bible Church private drainage improvement. Sorry.
Not a problem, Chair Crocker. Thank you so much. And I am glad to say that we still do have Mr. Lowell Jensen in attendance with us today. I will say he spearheaded most of these improvements and had direct involvement in the labor in putting this together. One of my main drivers in presenting this to the commission and to the public
is to show that the town isn't the only ones doing stormwater control and flood control improvements here. Thank you, Lowell. Appreciate that very much. So we've got a series of photos that were taken by Mr. Jensen to kind of help us understand the iteration of this particular endeavor. So this is a aerial image of the Canyon del Oro Bible Church. It's at Calle Concordia in Oracle, just down the way from us. Here is Calle Concordia here, which didn't really show up, but I did label it, which is good. So they've got a couple of things coming at them here. They've got a main tributary coming out of the Santa Catalina Mountains, which would be over here on the right side of this image. And you guys can all see the wash that comes right at their property. We also have some culverts and some side drainages that also dump into this wash and ultimately cross their driveway and run right alongside their parking lot. So this just gives you an idea of where we're talking about. So what's going on, John? What's the big deal? Sediment transport is the big deal. I will say a bit of flooding was happening here as well. We do have a low water crossing as we come in from the driveway on Calle Concordia into the church property. But the biggest issue that was facing the church, they kept being left with a huge mess. It actually made it up towards some of the buildings, which makes access difficult here and really puts a tremendous burden on the operations and maintenance from the CDO Bible Church here. So you can just see some pictures. We're staring at the wash coming right at the church, mm-hmm. and obviously the sediment that has been left behind. I believe, Lowell, this is actually the western exit west to lower, the church.
West lower access right there.
So Oracle Road would be just off the page here. Okay. So again, tremendous amount of sediment being left behind on storm events that they'd have to go clean up. So the church wanted to improve that. How the heck can we slow this water down? How do we ensure the erosion, which you're kind of seeing here a little bit? How do we slow the water down and prevent all this sediment from leaving a huge mess on our property? So Lowell and a bunch of people at the church took it upon them to start to try to make some improvements. They tried to put in some pavers and guide the water in. That didn't really work. You can see some of the pavers heaving on the sides, and we still had a huge sediment issue happening here. You can see some of the erosion around their improvement. It didn't work. First try didn't really work. Back to the drawing board. All right. So again, some more pictures of the damage caused. And again, this is after some of the improvements were put in. All their headers just eaten away. We've got a pretty good volume and velocity of water trucking right through here. So hard to control with minimal effort. So again, they went back to the drawing board.
Real quick, John, was this in this year or last year when we had the heavy rains? Or what was the timing of all of the
21 and 22, I believe?
It was just after the heavy rain.
The heavy rains of the last year, 18 months.
Yeah. Started doing it better. First 2 ways, they just swept it away.
Great. Thank you. Just trying to get my head around the timing.
And honestly, Commissioner Thomas, this has been happening for quite some time. But Lowell had contacted me, I believe, in 2020, maybe 2021, asking for some guidance and some additional help because they knew they were kind of up against it.
Picture, are those gabions along the left side?
It's just dumped riprap.
Just dumped on the left of it. Go to the right picture and go to the right there. What are those?
I believe that's filter fabric and just some dumped riprap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We added all of that, or most of it. On the right-hand side, there was some there. But we basically doubled the capacity, more than doubled the capacity that was there before by widening the opening.
Yeah.
Putting riprap on both sides with filter fabric under all that. And... wow. 10 or 11 years prior to that, the city told us we have to do something from the lower access road to Oracle, and we don't even own that property, to tell you the truth. But we spent $15,000 doing something for the school, which was donated. That property was donated to the school Bush Ridge Christian Academy.
Which is just next door to the
city. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, I'm 75 now, but you take 4 to 12 inches of sand off from both of those access roads. A year ago, I got the Bush Ridge to come back and help us again. They hadn't done it for a while, but anyway, it's...
The point I wanted you guys to understand, laying these pavers alone
was
a tremendous amount of work. And that didn't work. They had to go back and redo it. So we're going to more robust elements here. Now we're going to concrete. You can see how groomed or graded the channel is now. They wanted to prevent erosion from undermining that riprap on the sides and allow that water and sand to get through as quick as possible and not sit on the pavement. So, again, tremendous amount of efforts went into toe downs and what I'll call anchoring in these bank protection and erosion mitigation measures.
We removed a really large tree that was right there on the right-hand side of the main access and a couple of smaller ones, but basically widened the narrowest point from 4 feet to almost 8 feet.
They've continued up the driveway so they can ensure they're collecting the water appropriately and then guiding it where they want to go.
We actually get water coming down Calle Concordia, coming into this drive that you see on the left, and coming down there as well as the main wash.
Oh, wow.
And water will speed up coming down and not want to turn. You going straight right toward the buildings.
If you look at the end of the wash that we're looking at, there's a mesquite tree right there on the other side. Right there.
Yeah.
10 or 11 years ago, the water was 3 foot high on that tree.
On that tree. Oh,
and it washed clear to our Christian education wing, where our Sunday school classes were. So that's when I said, you know, I need somebody to help me on this, because this is I'm a building kind of guy, commercial stuff. So this is more than what I've ever dealt with. We retired 7 years ago and moved here.
And again, with the understanding, these guys are trying to do it with volunteer efforts.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
But they did it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the progression of improvements that these people were willing to take on and put forth on their
own. I basically tried to get estimates for the riprap contractors. Sure. There were three of them in town, and one of them bailed out when their supervisor left them. But the lowest price I got for riprap in an inch and a half or 2 inches of mortar was $20 a square foot.
Wow.
And I said, you know, we're just going to use more pavers and we're going to do our own concrete wall and different things. So that's what we did.
And their own labor, which really saved the church an awful lot of money and really allowed them to not scale back anywhere else. It's the beauty of volunteer efforts, if you can find it. An intriguing thing that Lowell and his partners came up with here, we are now looking to the east right up into the Catalinas. This is the main wash. In an effort to kind of slow the water down and capture it before it gets to the entry drive, they put up a series of these boulders, and you can see they're anchored in concrete. They're not going anywhere. And we've got some, openings, if you will, almost like a curb cut, to allow the water to come through. As it pools up behind it, it does allow it to go through. These bags, it's like a silica gel, they will expand when they're exposed to water. So as we're seeing more water happen, they fill up and expand, thereby blocking or trapping more water upstream, and then will deflate as they dry back out. But that really helps the church. As we see higher flows and more water, it'll hold it back a little bit longer and allow them to go scoop the dirt out here rather than up along their Sunday school and then their parking lots. So creative. I've never seen these deployed before.
Do you guys have your
type
own
of material?
No.
Okay. What type of material is the bag made out of? Those bags?
Yeah.
I bought them at Home Depot, and I got a quantity of them. But basically, I have a picture here I can show you. But we just have a tub, and I can put 3 or 4 of the bags in there and give them 15 or 20 minutes, and they'll fill up.
I wonder
water.
How
it looks
how
like
long
a sandbag.
It deteriorates with the heat.
We don't know that yet.
I discovered that, you know, they'll when it's 100 and some degrees, they'll last for a couple of weeks, and then I have to refill them again.
Refill them.
So
it's a lot of work.
The other thing that I did was I bought five foot long priest, you know, they're sacks. They're socks is what it is. And we can use those. I found out after we looked at the fine print that they're possibly carcinogenic kind of thing with little particles that are in them. But, you know, we can put them in front of garage doors to keep water out and in a short notice deal. And then we can use these whenever we need them.
But this really was a creative aspect, and this wasn't really input by the town or anybody else that I could tell. Lowell and his team knew enough that they had to try to slow that water down upstream of the property and give themselves an opportunity to go collect whatever debris might be coming down or sand. So pretty ingenious, and I'm interested to see how they work over the long haul. Back to Commissioner Mattson's point, well, how long are these really going to hold up?
We had
so far so good.
Half a day, three different times as we progressed, because we also went up from north to south there.
These shots here, this one, we're looking at Calle Concordia up here. The entry drive is kind of paralleling this part of the channel. This is a town culvert here and is also a contributor to water and sediment coming into the property of the church. They've put some parking bumpers here, and again, in an effort to slow the water down and minimize erosion and also collect some sediment back behind them. The town will be coming back and improving this slope here. Can't really see it too well here, but we're seeing erosion.
Yeah, you can see that.
So we've got some work to do on our property here to clean up the invert and the slope here. To basically be in concert with what the church has done. So that should be coming underway here shortly with our operations group. This is a picture of the buildings and the driveway swinging around. They've also allowed water to come off the driveways and the parking lot. So it, all in all, really well thought out, really well constructed. This is much more than I would expect from any one property. But the hope is that they don't have to go back and rebuild this again.
I was actually really surprised how much water we're getting from those downspouts on three different additions that we've done.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why we've got curbs and things. And I'd say one set of downspouts from one small building, I had probably a 15-foot by 8-foot big sunken area that I filled in at one point.
Yep.
So when you get three of those kind of things, it just needed some kind of remediation.
And the reason I wanted this particular picture in here, and thank you, Lowell, for mentioning that, water off rooftops, the volume of water that's generated off of a rooftop is immense. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's tried to do a stormwater harvesting barrel probably knows that. Those things fill up almost instantly.
Really fast.
And that is really why we've instituted our stormwater fee, or part of it, is that runoff coming off those rooftops. We're talking, I don't know, 20 feet drop. That's got a lot of potential to erode away any kind of dirt down there and then potentially pollute our waterways. So that is one of the main functions for us here at Stormwater, is making sure that water is addressed in some form or fashion, and that's not eating away at people's foundation or potentially impacting dirt underneath those residences. So intuitive by the Canyon Del Oro Church to take that water off the parking lot and move it appropriately. With, again, some erosion mitigation, they got some rock out here to make sure it's not eating that dirt away. And all in all, a fabulous job by those folks. And certainly worthy of recognition and thank you. Again, they weren't out with hands out. We need money. We wanted some guidance. And we really didn't provide Lowell and his team all that much guidance. They really had great ideas, great concepts, and they executed it fabulously. I was very impressed to see the work out.
Three 8-foot gabions in a row for the one area where we had a 30-inch erosion thing on the south side. So that was a good thing. We had somebody in our church that was a welder and did that.
Yep. So, message to all, please find good friends that can build things.
I have a question.
Yes, Chair Crocker.
Well, a couple of us are involved with HOAs, and many HOAs own, unfortunately, drainage structures. And so
can they go to the town to get advice on those? Or
yes.
Are they going to have to be volunteers or pay for them themselves also?
Chair Crocker.
I know that's a big loaded question, but I just wanted a quick answer.
No, and it's good for the public to hear as well. The Stormwater Utility, and really all of the town, we're here to bounce ideas off of or offer our experiences to HOAs, to commercial properties. We can come out and do assessments for you guys and help you realize a scope of work. We can evaluate scopes of work that you might receive or bids that you might receive from contractors or consultants. We can help you understand the regulations that you're going to need to meet. So, yes, we certainly are here to help. Again, will we fund those things for you?
No.
That's on private property. Sure. That's unfortunately your group's responsibility, but we certainly are here as a resource and support.
That's great.
Any other questions?
I do have one for Lowell and the team. So have you had any major storms since you finished all the work?
No. Basically, it's been amazing. We watch it to the north in
Catalina. that's the way it usually works. You do all the work, and it's like, well, where's my rain now?
It will fall at some point in time.
The closest thing that we had to that was we have a fall festival that we do in October every year, where we invite the community to come, and all free, and we have a food court. And anyway, we had 10 50-gallon things that were two-thirds full, and we took 10 of those, and we just did a little play thing to see what it did. And it gives you an idea, anyway, at least where the water's going.
And what make sure it at least drains.
Yeah. It did. It went uphill.
Okay. Commissioner Hawkinson.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
What's on the other side of that's Oracle Road up there, right?
This is Calle Concordia.
Concordia.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just draining some neighborhood drainage on the other side of that.
Okay.
Most of that damage up there is the flushing of the hydrants.
Yes, there's a water hydrant
right there.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they flush those every once in a while. I suppose the valves need to be exercised, and they're just kind of releasing that water onto the dirt. So it's kind of eroding that away. Some water's coming over the top, off the road itself. The Canyon Del Oro Bible Church has put up some parking bumpers to, again, help guide the water and keep it on the pavement and away from eroding the dirt here. But it's a challenge, and that's our challenge to solve.
If the velocities are pretty high, the velocities are pretty high coming out of this culvert onto the church property, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Is there any way to dissipate those velocities on the upstream other side of the road?
Yes and or no, Commissioner Hawkinson. It's a fairly narrow channel upstream. And we've got property lines and the road right there. So we're limited in what we can do to slow it down. But it is very well vegetated. I want to say that's about a 36-inch culvert. It's a pretty decent-sized one. But it's got no outlet apron on it. So it's just spitting out into the dirt, eating itself away underneath. And then all the water coming in over the top is eating away the slope. So we need to come in and basically armor that thing.
All the water to the south and the southeast is all that whole residential area that's been developed up there is coming into our channel.
Yep. Suffolk Hills, I believe, is up that way. Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Let's move on to item number 7. We're going to
excuse myself if I can. I've got another meeting tonight.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate
you.
But now we're going to get into money items, I guess.
Woo-hoo.
The annual stormwater utility rate analysis recommendation to the mayor and the council. Please start, Mr. Spiker.
Thank you. Hopefully you've all had a chance. We put, as part of the presentation packet, and I'll just open this briefly here, we do have our five-year outlook here, which also looks back. Now, let me biggie size that. It's pretty tough to read. So we've left it going back to 2021 fiscal year. Just so you guys can have a sense for what has happened previously, and then again extended that out to 27, 28 here. So hopefully you've all had a chance to look at this, break out our revenue streams and then some of our expenses, both administratively as well as some of our future projects here. But
instead of going through that line by line, let's just do a little presentation. See if we can make this a little more easy. So every year, the Stormwater Utility Commission is asked, as a part of our town code, to review the rates and ensure that the current fee structure, which is $4.50 for each residential property and $4.50 per each 4,000 square feet of impervious surface on commercial properties, which HOA pools and clubhouses do constitute a commercial purpose. So we charge the HOAs $4.50 per 4,000 square feet of impervious surface here. And we are asking y'all every single year to go back and look at this. Are our forecasted expenses and our regular everyday duties captured with that current rate? So that covers our regulatory stuff. Here's some basic background, mostly for the public's information, as most of you guys understand this, but we're a relatively new group here at the town. We weren't formed until 2004. We did have a Stormwater Utility Commission prior to that, which helped formulate all of this stuff for us. So we certainly thank those who participated, one of which is Commissioner Hawkinson. Why are we doing all of this stuff? Well, again, we're trying to be beholden to the EPA and ADEQ. We've got a couple of permits with those guys. An MS4 permit, which is our municipal separate storm sewer system permit. We've got a NPDES permit, which is a National Pollutants Discharge Elimination System permit. And then our construction general permit. All of these things are revolving around water quality. We don't want to see dirt and pollutants discharged into the washes and leave people's sites that somebody else would have to clean up. So our major task is going around and making sure developments and properties are not polluting our waterways. Okay, some other things to take note of. We are required to carry a 15% reserve. That's really an emergency fund. It's not huge. 15% of $1.5 million is really not a lot of money. But that is somewhat of a rainy day or emergency fund that we can execute on. And if we do see flooding, we can go grab some emergency contractors and start the work while we go look for additional revenue streams. Or maybe FEMA can help us out if it's a national disaster declaration, those types of things. But that reserve fund does help us get out and respond immediately. Let's see. Again, we're trying to implement all the permit requirements here. Drainage channel and street shoulder vegetation maintenance. And we're out, again, cleaning streets and making sure the vegetation doesn't overgrow the roadway. We're cleaning out culverts, basins, grade control structures. We're doing inspections on all that infrastructure. Storm sewers, again, all that general stormwater infrastructure inspection and cleanup. We're responsible for that. Storm cleanup itself. You guys have probably all seen branches and trees blown over. Those are construed as pollutants, so it's our job to get rid of those things and dispose of them properly. Street sweeping is a huge thing up here. As we just saw the presentation of the CDO Bible Church, we've got sand everywhere. So our operations group is constantly out there with street sweepers and bear brooms cleaning up the roadways. That is construed a pollutant. Sand is a pollutant. Well, that's interesting. Nonetheless, it's our job to clean that stuff up. Low water crossings, dip crossings, which we saw at the CDO Bible Church. We need to make sure those are passable and safe. So all the rocks, boulders, whatever, it's our job to clean that up and make sure pollutants are gone and people can access the roadways again. Debris and washes, talked about that a bit. You know, road safety, very important for our people to get out there and clean that up. So, a bit of a refresher, ERU. What is an ERU? What are we talking about here? Equivalent residential unit, and I talked about this just a second ago, but for the public's information, $4.50 for residential units, and commercial is an equation out of that. So, we go through and calculate how much impervious surface, pavement, concrete, pools, rooftops. We go calculate that for each commercial property and then charge them appropriately for that. apologize for the fuzziness of this, but we are now looking at our five-year revenue projections here. How much money are we going to collect? Okay. We average about $1.5 million in rough numbers. We're bringing in $1.5 million every year. So we kind of see our beginning balance and our stormwater fees trucking in. Why do these keep growing? Well, our population keeps growing. We've got new residential structures coming online, new commercial properties coming online. So because of that, our revenue stream grows. Not tremendously, but it will continue to grow. Fines, what the heck are fines? Late fees, late penalties, people that don't pay their bills, we do assess a fine for that. And Urena does a great job of going after them and collecting on that. Interest income, again, because we've got a reserve fund, we do see some interest trucking along. It's not tremendous, but it is part of our revenue stream. Grants over here, if we did secure grants, we'd be showing them here. The reason we don't show them, although we've applied for three of them right now, we don't want to show them until it's more certainty that we actually can obtain those. Intergovernmental agreements, if we partnered up with somebody like Pima County, that they would come in and build something for us and we've got an agreement in hand, we would show that here. We are not showing their contributions on their own. We talked about the CDO levy augmentation. We are tracking those numbers off to the side, but that's not a direct deposit into the stormwater fund. So we're not really showing it here because we're not collecting the money. But if Pima County paid us to build a project, then we would see that here. But they more often than not do it on their own and just coordinate with us. Miscellaneous, again, that's just what it appears to be, miscellaneous. If we had an infusion from the general fund, we would probably put that here in miscellaneous, but we don't very often go ask town council for money. That could also be construed as a transfer in. But that's why you're not seeing any of those. We're not asking for anything. So again, at the bottom, we've got our total revenues here, and they're around $1.5 million. Some assumptions. These are important to understand how we got here. We do not take potential annexations into our assumed results here. Although the town council does do some annexations, most recently we're looking at something up at La Cañada and Moore at the southwest corner over there. We won't put those projections in again until we get a little more certainty that they're actually happening and we've received some kind of development plan. Then we'll start to roll those into future commercial projections or future residential projections. New residential building permits. How do we forecast that stuff? Well, we talk with our building partners over here at CED. They've got a forecast about how many homes are coming online, and we utilize those folks for our forecasting purposes. For fiscal year 23-24, which is the current fiscal year, they're estimating 243 new homes being built. Is anybody who's paying attention right now probably has the foresight, those numbers are going down. By 26-27, we're forecasting only 84 new homes to be built. That's really tiny. That's a very small number. But that's what the market is telling us. And again, anybody paying attention would more than likely concur with that assumption here.
Just a matter of space in the town.
Yep. That's a big part of it, Commissioner Thomas. Annexations would certainly help toward that. But it's got to be right.
Yeah.
It's got to be right for the town. Some grant revenues. We are assuming FEMA will help us out, Highlands Wash Mobile Home Park. Also, we've got two projects into the Sierra Wash. So when we start to dive back into the expenses, you'll see some asterisks on some of our CIP funds. We are assuming the town will not deliver those without some funding assistance. So that is our assumption, that we will not be delivering those unless outside funding becomes available to us. FEMA is not our only resource. The state has several funding pots that we do dip in. DEMA, the Department of Emergency and Military Affairs, has funding sources available to us. The Land and Water Conservation Fund gives money to the states. Arizona Department of Environmental Quality's got some funding that is available, but those are typically smaller scale. And you're talking $40,000-ish. It helps, but it's not going to get us to where we need to be. So we tend to go after a bit bigger chunks of money, and we'll see that in the forecast here. Interest income, again, conservative earnings, they're not very big. $1,500 a year is what we're forecasting. It's not something we really count on for generating a ton of revenue. Okay, the fun part, expenditures. So for the most part, our $1.5 million goes to personnel. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big number, guys. You know, $850,000, approaching $950,000 for 5 years out. That comes right off the top. That's a lot of money. O&M, we talked about that. Cleaning culverts, street sweeping, vegetation removal. That eats up about the other half of the money. Capital outlay, these are our projects, in essence. Smaller of the three here, and it does fluctuate depending on what kinds of projects we're trying to unload, which are inclusive of the Canyon del Oro project, but that's fairly tiny in the grand scheme of it. So here you can see our total expenditures nearly matching our revenues. And then we got our end fund balance here. Vehicle reserves, in addition to personnel, they have to drive vehicles. We need street sweepers. We need backhoes. We need dump trucks. So what we tend to do with this is collect reserves until we have enough to go pull the trigger on something. And then we'll go and execute that. So we have this asterisk here. We are targeting a street sweeper. And I think Amy just pushed this out into 25, 26. We got the price tag back, and it's a bit more than we've got. So we're going to push that out a year.
Imagine that.
Yeah, they're not cheap. They are not cheap. But you can see we're sitting pretty healthy with our reserve account here. As we start to look out 5 years from now, we're getting really close to that 15% threshold here. What does that mean for the town and for the commission here? Well, it means we're running out of money to deliver projects or bring on additional staff, buy additional equipment, do additional repairs. What we're starting to see, we're going to get squeezed at the five-year mark here. So we've got plenty of different options. We can continue to go out and ask our partners at Pima County for help, which they are usually more than happy to do. We can go chase more grants. That's always an option, and we will continue to do that. Or we can raise the rates. So those really are the three options to help us stay ahead of the curve and continue to provide the quality of life that we do here in Oro Valley. So this is really important for the commissioners to understand. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, we will run out of money with the $4.50 rate. Again, unless we continue to bring in these outside revenue streams. So some assumptions on the expenditure front. Traditionally, we target 2.5% to 3% rate increases for staff. That seems to be the MO of the town here. Health insurance is going to continue to climb, which also is a component of the staff pay. We do have to pay them their salary. We also have to pay for benefits. So we forecast a gradual increase in those. O&M, we're basically just looking at our historic trends. What have we spent traditionally? Okay, well, we're going to kind of hold to that and then increase slightly with inflation. We all know gas is getting more expensive, labor is getting more expensive, parts is getting more expensive. So we need to make sure we're forecasting that and accounting for that. CIP, anything over 250 is going to require outside funding. We feel comfortable with this number, and we talked about it last year. Anything over that dollar figure, we're going to have to go chase outside funding. There's a caveat to that. Again, we can't launch five $250,000 projects in one fiscal year. That's going to bankrupt us. But really, that threshold, if it's above that number, we need to go chase somebody else's money in addition to our own. And we will continue that modus operandi here. Any amount of $50,000 is budgeted for general infrastructure maintenance. So our operations group has roughly $50,000 every year to go out and fix things like the CDO Bible Church, go repair a head wall, go clean out a wash, do some general infrastructure maintenance here. And then again, we've got a new street sweeper forecasted in the future budget here.
So, John, if I could interrupt. So let's postulate we have another 50-year type event like we had circa 1983 up in the area with heavy rains and storm damage. Where does the commission stand in terms of being able to support any major events tied to something like that?
Good question, Commissioner Thomas. What I really want the public and the commission to understand, any size storm of that magnitude is going to affect not just Oro Valley, but other jurisdictions.
FEMA.
So it could be the state, it could be the feds, it could be the county here chipping in. We do have enough to respond to events, but to think the town's going to clean everything up and rebuild it all is just folly. We would be looking to the governor's office as a disaster declaration made, which opens up all kinds of additional funding for us. And we do have some, again, reserve funds ready to start addressing and attacking the problem once the waters reside. But again, 100-year events plus are going to be awfully difficult to wrap our hands around. Luckily, most of our infrastructure is newer, and we have a really good maintenance program, so we're able to pass most of those waters through. But roadway impacts, is that really the stormwater utility's responsibility or the engineering's, Public Works Engineering Division's responsibility? Well, it's in tandem. There's probably a lot of culverts going through there that we want to help. So, again, I want you guys to understand the pot of available monies for something like that starts to widen really quickly in disaster-type situations. Okay. Now, if we have smaller events, that more than likely is going to be on the back of us here at the Stormwater
Utility.
That was
going to be my follow-on.
Yep. And again, because we do such a good job of maintaining things, we don't see the full rebuild need very often. But it is something we need to be cognizant about because, again, 15% is not a tremendous amount to really start attacking those things and really go back and rebuild. But I'll tell you, most of those things are going to happen over multiple fiscal years. Either they'll be phased out or the volume of work is so large that we just can't attack it quickly. Yeah. You know, it'll need permits, design, and then construction. So we start to spread that out over multiple years, and the finances start to look a little more palatable for us. But that's honestly why we're doing a lot of planning out ahead of it. Where are our big watersheds? We're going out doing inspections. What does our infrastructure look like? Does it need help now before we get that next big rainstorm? And we're doing a lot of those activities with our partners at Pima County. So I feel pretty confident we're able to address almost anything that comes at us, knowing it won't just be us here at the Stormwater Utility.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Commissioner Hawkinson.
More recent even than here, 83 floods back in the mid-2000s, they had a fairly significant rain around, and the town had some problems with drainages, one on Tangerine Road along a hike and bike path, one over on Lomas de Oro Wash.
Oh, yeah.
Some infrastructure that the town maintains, their gas pumps and stuff were included. What John was just alluding to was the way things operated back then, and the opportunity for FEMA and ADEM money was there, and it was a matter of jumping on things quickly where there was a problem and putting the proposals together and being there to put packages together in, you know, with the right numbers and the way that FEMA and ADEM look at things in terms of cost-benefit ratios and all of that good stuff.
You're spot on, Commissioner Hawkinson, and because of the current staff's experience applying for FEMA grants and DEMA grants, we've already got a really good grasp on the procedures to go obtain that kind of money, the reporting on the back end that's required, the auditing that's required, the types of construction that is allowed under that grant source. We're real cognizant of that stuff. Plus, we participate with OEM at Pima County and here at the town, making sure we know what the new forms will be, who to contact when we need help. So we're doing a lot of that groundwork right now. Should an event happen like that, that we need to jump instantly, we don't have time to educate ourselves. We got to go and put in those applications. And they need to be right, because you only get one shot at it. So we need to be educated at the changes at the federal and state level so that we can become eligible and go grab it first and start our work in rebuilding and mitigating.
This budget, can I step in now?
Yeah, then we'll come back to Commissioner Hawkins. Yeah,
okay.
Commissioner Mattson.
Okay. John asked me to go over some of this information, and we had a meeting. And before I went before I talked to John, I went through some information myself. I went through the city comprehensive plan, the CIP, what he planned, what projects he would plan to do in the future. I also talked to somebody I knew at the Federal Reserve on the estimated inflation, although we don't, everybody, but they were pretty optimistic. And also I talked the building permits and everything, and I felt they were overly optimistic. The planning department's overly optimistic for a couple of reasons. However, when he asked me, I broke it down in two ways. One, the existing maintenance costs for determining what we should be charging as a fee and future projects. I threw out most of the future projects because John said, well, which I would agree totally, we should not put that in unless we have the money, yes. Unless we know that we're going to be committed. If you notice, the base pay is based on our existing mm-hmm. thing, and that's what we worked on for the budget. That's what we really we're very conservative. John was very, very conservative on this so that we didn't have any pie-in-the-sky projects or going – that we would have this variable and all of a sudden find ourselves with a shortfall. That would mean we had the base fee, and that's what we worked on, or John worked on the budget on that. I, in turn, afterwards, when John and I were discussing this, and after the over-optimistic planning department, and I have to be embarrassing because I am a planner. I was trained as a planner, but I also was trained as a finance person. So I look at dollars and cents. And their comp plan, which is old, and their proposed new plan, I don't think is very realistic. And this is what John and I talked about and spent a little more time. Because we don't have the finance structure that would allow us to deal with those variables because we're depending on the optimism of mostly the city's revenues coming from what? Sales tax. The new plan that they're proposing is practically eliminating any potential commercial either on La Cholla, La Cañada, or the existing areas on Oracle that we have control over. No commercial. They're talking totally single-family homes. Okay, if we have single-family homes, we get the one shot on it and whatever they spend on. What we, John and I, realized is that within 3 to 5 years or more, and we only had a 5-year CIP, normally you have a 7-year CIP, we're going to face a serious shortfall almost on anything because we have to deal with the fact that most of our money would be going to existing maintenance and not future projects. But we already know from our own experience last year and everything, we got a lot of backfill that has to be done, which we've been putting off. We're deferring this capital investment, which is our responsibility. I'm not even talking about roads and other aspects of infrastructure. Otherwise, we're going to get as seedy as Tucson or parts of Pima County. You know, it's great now. You know when you're in Laurel Valley because the roads and everything. But in the future, we could have some serious problems besides this catastrophic 50-year, 100-year plan because they're not looking at our existing land use plan, and they're only looking at one aspect of it, amenity, scenic, value, whatever, and they refuse to look at the fact that we need additional commercial space. This is this 10-year plan that they're proposing.
I'm glad you brought that up, Commissioner Mattson. It isn't just the stormwater utility. I mean, the town's going to face a funding shortfall at some point in time here. Again, we're assuming no annexations here. I don't know if that's 100% truthful or not, but to Commissioner Mattson's point earlier, we want to be a little more conservative. I want to live within my means wholeheartedly first. We cannot be floating out projects that we really don't have the money to float out. Sure. So we need to be living with our means, which is fabulous. But we all know construction costs, labor costs, everything's going up across the board. Well, are our tax revenue streams going up too? Yes, because property values are going up, but that is going to be limited at some point in time. So looking at revenue streams into the town, out into that 5 to 10 year window is going to be uber paramount for people. Otherwise, the infrastructure is going to suffer. And it won't just be culverts and drainage ways. It will be the roads. It will be the parks. It will be our facilities. All that stuff is going to be more expensive.
Replacing equipment.
Yep. Commissioner Hawkinson.
Okay. Going back, and it'll play into what you were saying, I think. When that initial budget was put together for stormwater utilities, it was what John said, under it was to meet the needs of phase two stormwater mandated by EPA.
Yes.
The way that and going back to this list here that he has, only the top item really was used in determining the initial budget, the amount that was going to be charged, $2.90. All of these other items on here, as best they could, were made up by staff in the town, in the engineer's office, I think funded, from what I recall, out of the general fund. And that's how a lot of the activities that have since become recognized as important and critical to stormwater were fulfilled initially. Now, unfortunately, when we did that initial $2.90 budget, well, we at the other side of the ledger or sheet, we put together a proposal for meeting the needs of the MS4 stuff. And we put staffing and all of that for all the items, the best management plans and the six critical elements that were required. And we added up the amount of staff that were necessary, the FTEs that would be spent in the town doing this, and had some approximate salaries for the types of people that might work on it. And so on one hand, we said, here's how much this program is going to cost. On the other hand, then we went back to how are we going to fund that? We figured out the ERU concept. the average square footage per house was 4,000 feet plus or minus, but 4,000 foot was
a lot,
a chosen number. And then everything that money was computed for all of the residential areas and the existing urban commercial development. Now, I think, you know, when we hear look at the change in reduced area, maybe for housing, unless it's through annexation, number of new houses might be less. Commercial properties may be limited. Mm-hmm. That tells me two things. You need to look at what numbers would be generated out of the $4.50. But you also got to look at how much is it going to cost you to meet those needs, and the needs to meet that the new changed requirement in terms of staff may be less or may be different than the type of staff that he's got now. Or, you know, you're maybe not going to be developing so many plans for structures and things to be built, but you might have to do more road grading, or, you know, it could be a change in staffing needs taking place at the same time.
It certainly could be, Commissioner Hawkinson, and those are things that will swing our expenditures here at the Stormwater Utility. Do we need all the staff that we currently have to meet the initial mission statement of the Stormwater Utility, which, again, it really wasn't CIP. We weren't here to build all this new infrastructure, even though it's still needed. And obviously we're showing there's a need. All these things in blue are needs here. The initial understanding of what the Stormwater Utility was supposed to be was more compliance-driven. We're here to review plans and make sure they're in compliance with our permits that the town owns. We're here to make sure properties are as safe as practical from flooding, that the water is generated is as clean as possible here. Again, that initial $2.90 and then the subsequent $4.50 really were not intended to be used for construction projects. But as the town funds have dried up on other areas, we've been looked at, well, you guys have some money. Can you help us rebuild the culvert under the roadway? Well, what is that really serving? Is it a roadway function? Mm-hmm. Is it a stormwater function? Well, it's both. But who should be paying? Should it be split, partly general fund and partly stormwater? And we have seen those types of things happen before, where the engineering group will actually go out and build a set of culverts for their roadway here. So we can exercise those fronts. But as Councilmember Green can tell you, the budget coming out of the engineering group right now, the roadways are needing a lot of help. They're aging out. So what we used to do 5 years ago, just doing a seal coat over the top, well, now we're going to have to go back and do a little bit more. The bridges, anybody that's drove over the bridges.
Aging infrastructure. We have a 20-year, now 30, 40-year aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing we can do other than realizing that we have to look for funding sources for that. And unfortunately, I don't think it's just going to be going to Uncle Sam for that.
No.
Because Uncle Sugar is not going to come back with that anymore.
And I can tell you, we've been looking at that Build Back Better. A lot of the federal monies that are coming out of the Biden administration right now, they are zeroing in on disadvantaged communities.
Yes, they are.
Oro Valley is anything but a disadvantaged community. So our opportunity to go grab those federal dollars shrinks right off the get-go. So will there be opportunities for us? Absolutely. But they will not be as great as maybe the city of Tucson and South Tucson. Mm-hmm. They're going to be first out of the chute for those available monies. Now, do they have the staff to go get it? Don't know. We are poised, we're ready to go. But we've got to qualify for those things. You know, I've been mentioning here a few times, street sweepers. Scott Bennett and I have been scouring the interwebs trying to find a funding source to pay for a street sweeper. Well, we're not a disadvantaged community, and we have a revenue stream, so we're kind of at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. Plus, our air quality isn't dirty enough to qualify for those things. I'm like, oh, come on! Come on! So, I will let you guys know, we are doing our darndest to go scour all potential funding revenue streams. But, again, as it pertains to or prolays to the town council, I cannot guide annexation. I cannot guide property tax increases. I cannot guide sales tax increase. All I can do is arm the council.
And as it is, our sales tax is pretty high compared to the fact that you could go 5 miles down the road and you're down 2%.
Let's recognize Commissioner Hawkinson. He's had his arm raised for years.
Going back to what I said, I think all of these items that are on this sheet that John's put together are applicable from a water quality point of view relative to the safety and well-being of the public. And that's one of the statements that EPA said they wanted to look for in terms of just water quality. That this is the way water quality issues display themselves in an urban.
These improvements do feed into that.
Stream area, not by the quality in water per se continually going down the wash, but I think all of these are relevant. I think the town over the years has done a very good job of making do with what was started at initially, and by keeping a $4.50 amount for as long as they have. I think that a rate increase may be justified, but I think it might be justified based on a switch in function of the group per se, you know, how they spend their time on O&M items versus development or, you know, planning new projects.
However, we, as John is pointing out, pardon me.
I'm no, sorry, go ahead, please.
However, as John pointing out, is we determined that we could hold the existing $4.50.
Last year when we looked at it.
I think that's the important aspect. But we're pointing out that we have to start revisiting.
Yes.
The land use plan and make a notation as commission, maybe in our own, that's one of the points that has to be made, revisiting that to see, because so much of the city's revenue stream comes from sales tax.
Yes.
And those who would expend.
Let me recognize Commissioner Thomas.
Thank you. So that was one of the points that I wanted to make. You know, most of us were in the room last year when we said, let's hold where we are. However, I think we all agree if we'd had the magic Oracle 8-ball at that point to foresee where we are today with the inflationary pressures and the changes, our thinking may have been a little bit different.
Yes.
So going into this next cycle, I'm with you. I think a revisiting of the 450 plan is probably worth doing. I would also think that maybe the council, the commission should relook at the idea of, you know, you mentioned we measured on a 4,000 square foot platform in a home. I would wager that maybe that's high in terms of the actual average square footage, and all by and large, could we drop that to a 3,000? What does that do in terms of the increased revenue? Because that's probably closer to what the average is on those. So you get a little bit more of a bump there. Mm-hmm. And I guess the final point I wanted to make, well, final 2 points. One, I think you're right, John. The list up here, by and large, I see those as needs, not wants. Yep. And that's a differential in that. Yep. But the final piece, and I wish Councilmember Green hadn't left, but when we talk about annexation, I think you're right. You can't count on it, and it's getting harder and harder to count on that because we're just about bounded into the west. We're bounded in just about fully to the south, And if we don't move quick in some way, shape, or form, we're going to be bounded to the north as well on that. So it's we're going to be this microcosm of a small place with no place to grow very soon if we don't find a path forward. So
I'd like the chair. I think this is a huge discussion.
Yes.
And I agree with Commissioner Thomas. We did agree to go with 450, and I think we should stay with that.
Yep.
But I totally agree we need to look at it for a couple reasons. Just the history of Oro Valley of we want communities. Some people pay for their own roads. Some people pay everything their own. But this is something, along with the inflation we've had and everything, we do need to revisit it, John, probably next year as a budget development. And we need to come up with our own thing and push the council to realize this. We cannot go on being a town with no tax increases and still maintain our quality of life. If you look over there, quality of life, small town, everything else. And at some point, it's gone on for since 50 years since the town founded of no taxes, no growth versus growth, and everything is going to come from new construction.
Yes.
So I would like to say, let's make a decision now on recommending whether we want to stick with 450 or not, and save a longer discussion for some other time when we're more prepared. And Gary, thank you so much for your analysis. It was great. I don't have your capabilities, but you explained it very well to me.
Well, on the backs of that, Chair Crocker, I want to see if I've got the timelines in here. Here we go. So, timelines, if we look at rate increases, the budgets get approved somewhere in the June timeframe.
Okay. Yep.
So we are recommending a no rate increase for the next fiscal year, which would start July 1 and then go around. Obviously, that's just staff's recommendation. If the commission decides to want to increase the rate now for next fiscal year, we can certainly entertain that as well. But I think we've demonstrated to you for at least the very near term, we're okay. But there's a need coming. And I certainly would like to know more about what the council's direction will be, particularly with this 10-year plan. If it stays the same, we're going to need to find more money.
Yeah.
And that probably includes the stormwater utility.
Is a disaster when it comes to the fiscal for this city. It's going to be a disaster.
Where we're at right now, we're sitting in November here discussing the rate increase. If you guys approve 450 for next fiscal year, we're pretty much done. On this particular discussion, we start cranking up some more detailed discussions.
Next spring.
Maybe on a change to the actual kind of fee structure itself.
Yeah.
Maybe we look at the rate itself. Maybe there's something we've missed that can help us bring in more money.
Sure.
Do a trade-off. Maybe not as high of a rate increase, but change the measurement value.
Correct.
So now it's like, okay, I'm doubling the volume,
but
reducing it by not increasing the rate structure as high.
Yeah, I do not believe we looked at that as part of our 1,000 scenarios we looked at last year.
So anyway.
But it's certainly something to engage in and have discussions about. But again, I'm leery of asking for increases without knowing where the council's going.
So I, as chair, would like to make a motion that we stay with the 450 and then we consider it next year. I mean, it was a huge deal that we did a year ago based on assumptions. But
three or four meetings worth of.
Yeah, I think we should stick with what we had and then review it for next year. So that's my motion right now.
Could you pull up the motion?
Okay, discussion?
No, not discussion, just a question. Are you saying that, I'm assuming that the 23-24 budget is in place.
Yes,
it is.
And what's being recommended here or suggested is that it should, a new 450, a new rate should be developed and ready to put in for the budget discussions that start next
fiscal year 24
this coming
beyond.
Spring for
25-26.
That's not what this is.
Commissioner Hawkinson, what I am asking of the commission right now, as we can see the suggested motion, is for the upcoming fiscal year, 24-25.
Okay, keep
450. So it would start July 1 of 2024 yes. and wrap all the way back yes. around to June 30, 2025.
Correct.
Yes. Again, we've kind of gone through, I don't know how many scenarios we pushed in front of you guys.
Last year we spoke.
That was last year. And again, we're still showing very similar projections that we're okay for 3 to 5 years. We can handle doing what we are now outside of catastrophic events, which we really shouldn't be forecasting for. But we're okay for right now. But there will be a point in time that we're not okay, and our forecasts are showing that's about in year 5 okay. to year 6. If we try to deliver what we've been delivering historically, yes. we're going to run out of money.
I think you're right. And not to interrupt you, sir, I'm sorry, but I agree with the motion on the table right now. You know, but if we do this, and by the time the next one rolls around, the new committee will be able to evaluate what's in the new 10-year plan, what are they hearing from the guidance from the council at that point, and then go forward from there.
So do I need to restate the motion?
Yes, if you would read.
Okay.
Read it right
there. I move to approve the recommendation to the mayor and the council to support a status quo base rate for the stormwater utility for the upcoming fiscal year of 2024 to 2025.
And I will second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No one is opposed.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for the discussion. It was very...
I will take away that we are desiring to do another deep dive into the rates and look at some different types of modifications to the stormwater utility fee itself. So we will crank up, beginning next calendar year, we'll start creating some more scenarios and looking at our options. And in the meantime as well, we'll start to try to ascertain what's happening at the council.
Absolutely.
Where do they see revenue streams being generated from that might help us? Again, we are allowed to go ask the town council for general fund to go build some of our CIP.
Okay.
We are.
Okay. So we have that motion. Thank you, everyone. And good discussion. I mean,
well, I was adamant when I talked to John about this in the meeting, and I wanted to kind of shoot a cannon over the Ballard's.
No, I appreciate it.
Because I think this 10-year fantasy plan, and I'm a trained planner who toured 20 years in planning school.
Okay, Gary, we got it.
Fantasy plan.
We got to stay on topic.
Okay, Gary, we got it. Thank you.
I will leave you guys, and we still got one more item here. Please participate in the 10-year general plan. Okay. That's our best bet to get what we need for the town.
Okay, so
final one.
With that, I'm going to go to final item number 8. This one should be pretty simple. Discussing impossible action regarding the cancellation of the December 21st, 2023 SWC meeting.
Yeah. I've got to go look for a Christmas tree by then.
Well, Mr. Spiker, you can say it, but I'll move that we cancel it. I mean, I don't think we have much more to do in this season.
Not this year.
So if I could have a second on that.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of canceling December. Thank you.
Aye.
Is it Richard Hopkinson's second?
Yes,
it was. Yes.
Okay.
January 18th.
Anyway, thank you all for attending.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to do adjournment. Okay, can I have a motion?
I think you should participate in that plan.
Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this evening's meeting.
Commissioner Thomas has made the motion. Can I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Madsen, all those in favor? Aye. Aye.